Turn your Bibles, Exodus 15. I've been talking about perfected oneness and what it means to us. And we're going to stay in there. Exodus 15, verse 2 says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. He is my God." Everyone say, "He's my God." "I will prepare him a habitation." Now, you can go to the New Testament, and John will be there the rest of the day. You can turn over to the first book. Say, "I will prepare a habitation." Jesus already did all this. Understand, the day you're born again, everything was finished. I mean, you can be born again and understand where you are with God and the level you're at, but there's always another place. Amen. Whether you ever find it, whether you were ever taught it, wherever you ever lightened, you were still raised together with him. Not going to be raised. You were raised all the way together and made to sit. Well, where do you think you were made to sit? Not going to sit. You were made to sit. He doesn't have a chair for you. He has a throne. You were already enthroned. You didn't have a little chair, a wooden chair for you to sit down on. You were made to sit together with him in his throne. When he ascended on high, he entered into the Ancient of Days. He went into the Ancient of Days, into the glory. And there was given him a glory, a power, and a dominion. And the Bible says he was raised and crowned with glory and honor. Guess what? You were with him. He was restoring you to your rightful place. A full restoration of all dominion. A full restoration of the image of God. For man to rule and reign with God into the earth. For man to walk with God on the earth. He finished all of this the day you were born again. He actually finished it before you were born again. But for you, it was finished. Amen? You remember Paul, when the Lord appeared to him and knocked him down. Everyone knocked down on the ground. And he tells him, he gives him two messages. He goes, "I wanted you to preach remission of sin to the lost." Listen, once there's remission of sin and the understanding of it, it's okay to hear that. But if you hear that all your life and you don't hear the other phase, you won't grow up. You'll be saved and you'll be forgiven all your life. But you won't grow up into him. Because the other fact, the Lord told Paul personally, "Preach inheritance to those who are sanctified." You cannot access something you don't understand. Though it's yours, it's always yours. In fact, in the Corinthians, they were squabbling and fighting. Said, one says, "I'm of Paul." One says, "I'm of Peter." One says, "I'm of Apostle." "I'm of Apollos." And he says, all things are yours. You can be of them all. You don't have to dissect yourself into a camp. All things are yours. It's what you see. It's what you believe. It's not what, because aunt, auntie, or uncle, or mom, or dad, it's not just because of what you've been exposed to, it's still yours. But to access it, you'll have to see it. To walk in it, you're going to have to learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The level of revelation you choose, he doesn't choose that. Your own hunger will choose the level of revelation you walk in. Your own hunger will choose where you end up with God. Your own hunger will get you into feeding grounds that'll feed your spirit. Your own hunger will land you at the table of God. What I want to talk to you about today is build him a habitation. Amen? I want to talk about the levels that we can move into with God. Amen? He has this saying, and it's only captured in John. There's no other saying, no other writer caught this particular saying. Said, "He that believeth on me," that word, "believeth on me." No other writer caught this. And he has a lot to say about he that believes on me. Let's start with the foundation of believe on me, and let's see where he takes it. Amen? Because where he wants to take he that believeth on me, it's not your definition. It's his. Because there's going to be something that's going to accompany that realm if you make it there. There's going to be certain things that are going to happen. Amen? When you make it there, things will happen. So it's not our definition. How many of you believe on the Lord? Raise your hand. See what I mean? Amen. We all believe. I know you believe, but do you believe on Him? Because it's His definition, not ours. So let's see if we can go to the whole realm. Amen. Let's start with, go to John 6:40. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth, say, and believeth on Him. Same thing, believeth in me or believeth on Him. Everyone who sees Him and believes on Him may have everlasting life. We've turned that to be, I'm saved by grace. We've turned salvation is, I'm saved by grace. Which you are saved by grace. But it's a whole lot more than that. But He said, he that believeth on Him, how many have got everlasting life? You do. So he that believeth on me has everlasting life. It's not just saved by grace. We've been introduced to eternal life. I have a lot of things to say about this life. Because this life is the final move of God. The final frontier of God. The finality closing that God's going to close the nations up. He's going to display His life. Not just this thing we called I'm saved by grace, I've got life inside of me. It's the life that will manifest that destroys anything that doesn't look like it. It's life that in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that body you've been struggling with all your life will suddenly be born again, just like your spirit was. You'll get a resurrected body and you'll walk eternally in a body that's been resurrected. That life will never stop flowing, never stop executing dominion. That law of the spirit of life is going to release in our generation. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, across the nations, a billion people will be suddenly caught up. Like say suddenly, and the life will manifest, destroying death at will. It's already in you. The Bible says the resurrected body is not going to come on you. It's going to be revealed from within you. It was actually a seed programmed in your born again spirit. That's why you're not a sinner saved by grace. You're a bona fide son and daughter of the Most High God. You have eternal life inside of you. There's a whole lot of stuff in there. We haven't learned how to turn it loose yet, but we're learning. We're learning, amen? We're going to have to learn to turn what's inside loose. We got to get it from in here to out here. But that's the first part. Say, he has everlasting life. He that believeth on me. How about this one? He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I said, Lord, I'm a believer, but I still thirst. He said, that's because you haven't been able to learn to drink of me the way I want you to. I said, Lord, you know, I stand with you. I come into the realm. I join with you. I'm in the glory realm. He goes, yeah, but I want that here now. What about when you're back down here? That's the part we haven't been able to. I mean, we talk about all these encounters we have. Everybody does. They all have all these encounters. It's awesome in the heavenlies. And it's like when we try to get here, where is it at? How come it doesn't come here? Where is the demonstration? Find me a city that's in full mode demonstration of the kingdom of God. Where the sick, the lame, the maimed are being brought out to be healed. And it's actually being healed. But tell me one city that's happening in right now in America. I'm not talking about conferences. Because I'm not in it either. So I'm joining in the thing. But tell me a city where that's at. But I tell you one thing. If Veronica's little Stevie was here, and that Jesus walked in the room, Stevie would walk right out that door clothed in his right mind. And I would ask him, why can't I do that? And you know what he'd tell me? He'd tell me the same thing he told his disciples. Because of your unbelief. See, he has a different definition. We all think we believe because we believe. But knowing something. How many of you know Christ is in you? Raise your hand. How many of you know that you're in Christ, raise your hand. But he said, he that believeth on me will never thirst. There is a fountain. Tap at it this morning. Oh, it started welling up. The sweetness is like honey. And it's all here now. Everything's coming here now. Kingdom of God is on its way. It's really here. It's already here. But to get it to manifest, you'll have to believe the way he says to believe. It has to be his definition, not ours. If our definition of believing on him was the right definition, everybody would be walking in it. Because by the time I'm done today, you'll see what it means to believe on him. So we haven't obtained his definition, we've obtained ours. And we're going to have to surrender ours to get his. To get it here, everything's about the demonstration, the manifestation of the living God. Prepare me a habitation where I will come and dwell. When Moses was saying that, I will prepare my habitation, God was visible for all to see. The glory was visible. God's promise, visible glory in our generation. Just like Solomon, it was on his temple. Kings and queens, lost people. It's not hard to get someone lost if they walk in and they see a cloud of glory and Solomon disappear in the midst of the glory. And they see all the wealth and the power and the glory all around and the wisdom. It's not hard to get people saved when the visible living God is in operation. We're asking God to believe in this power. Even the Lord said, if you don't believe on me, what I say to you, then believe the works. Because they testify of what I'm saying to you. He told them, he says, though you don't believe on me, believe the works. They are demonstrating to you what I'm asking you to believe. All right, let's take it one step further. Go to John 7. I'm getting this definition. Hallelujah. You know, we're not going to quit until we make it. There is something inside. It doesn't matter. Listen, the life that will manifest in this generation will override 50 years of dysfunction. If you have grown up in a dysfunctional family, if you struggle with dysfunction, the life that will manifest in this generation can eradicate generational dysfunction. Because the life that he's talking about is different than our definition. Our definition of life is different. If you were in the early days of the revivals, like, and this was a definite true revival, like the Rodney Howard Brown days, and come on, let that joy bubble out your belly, and everybody was laughing, that laughing thing. That was a manifestation of God's grace. But the life that's going to manifest in this generation will eradicate death. It'll swallow it up. It swallows up sickness. It swallows up disease. It'll swallow up a curse. That life is manifested. It's what swallowed up the eternal death that was in your spirit when you were born again. It swallowed it up. You're not going in and out of your salvation anymore. You have life manifesting on the inside of you. It's there. That life wants to come out now. It wants to come out into the body. It wants to come out into the mind. What happens when our mind starts getting freed? Scientists say we use about 8% of our mind. Some of us were not Einsteins. Some have photographic memories. You know what a photographic memory is? It's just the mind operating the way it was supposed to. The mind, the way God created it before the fall, could categorize and it couldn't really read back in those days, but Adam, he had the photograph. Remember, he had that power. He named every animal on the earth. Named them all. There's a divine intelligence that was supposed to be with our mind. We were supposed to ask for wisdom, but we ended up dumb instead. Because our mind was subjected to the law of sin and death. The life is going to free it in these last days. The life is going to free. Our minds will start operating like it's supposed to. All of a sudden, divine intelligence will show up at your door and say, where'd that come from? Because the life will manifest. How about in the emotional faculties? Man, the emotions, they can be saved one day in church going, glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. You be singing hallelujah, you walk right out there. You hear one bad report and your emotion. Walking in depression all your life. You walk in the church, say hallelujah. And back to depression. That part of your emotional faculties haven't been conformed to the image of Christ. When they move to anger instead of love. Emotions are extremely volatile. I mean, they can go to the heights of heaven and go way down low. The emotions need to get saved. The emotions were not saved when you were saved. The emotions were not born again. Your spirit was. The emotions have to be transformed, but there's a life that will override the fallen emotions of man, because the Bible already said we're complete in him. See, before God leads you anywhere, he already had finished you. He had to finish it. He had to become a finished place to lead you to. And the emotional faculties of love, joy. I'm not talking about just love. I'm just talking about your emotions, experiencing happiness. You know, there's not much happiness out there in the world. Because the world system sees to it that you're not supposed to be happy. It wants to steal everything about you. Joy and peace. Temperance. Calm. Amen? And then we blow it. I mean, if you're in the wrong church, they'll tell you you need to get saved again. Listen, your emotions haven't grown up yet. But the life will manifest in this hour. It will override the mind, override the emotional faculties. It'll override your issues that need lots of tissues. It'll override generational dysfunction. Some of you grew up in a family and you were love, love, love. And you just walk in love all the time because your family walked in love. And some of you didn't grow up in love. You grew up in rejection. You grew up in dysfunction. You were never told you were loved. You were never told how valuable you are. You were never held by your mom. That causes issues. And lots of stuff up in there. Even though you've grown up, you can put the face on. I'm not talking church face today. I'm talking about what happens out that door out there. We all have it. I'm talking about the one when you get home and you start dealing with life. When you're in the workplace and you don't like your boss. The boss don't like you. You're having to deal with difficulty all the time. There is systems out there that work against you 24 hours a day. They're in the atmosphere. They're in the airwaves. They're off TV. They're in social media. They are designed to program you. God has a program too, and his program will swallow up everything. We got to get it loose, but we're trying to perfect without perfection. He goes, I'm not going to perfect you without perfection. How are you going to perfect? You're going to perfect yourself? Paul did that. He walked the law perfectly. Who can do that? He did it perfectly. He said, I counted but dung. There's another word for that, but we'll just leave it out because we're in church. He goes, I count all things but dung that I may win Christ, be found in him having not my own. Paul knew how to exchange. He knew his limitation. You have to reach your limitation. You have to get to the place, I can't do it. But you can't camp there. Just the fact that you arrive there, that's an awesome place to be. But that's not where you camp. You've got to make the exchange. We have to live by faith. The just will live by faith. They're going to live in the life by faith. The only way to access any of this is by faith. You have to see it. You have to believe on me. See, believe on me will get you saved, but believe on ye, out of your belly will flow rivers. John 7, he that believeth on me, out from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Boy, that's a definition. We need those rivers. He didn't say water, he said living water. John 7. Okay, I have one for you here. Verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, then come unto me and drink. So you're going to have to come to drink. Everyone wants the rivers to come out. They're not going to come out till you learn to drink. And we have to learn to drink. We have to learn how to partake. Everyone say, I am a partaker of the divine nature. In verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, go find me that scripture anywhere in the Old Testament. There is no scripture. But he said there was. He says, as the scripture saith, there's somewhere in the Old Testament. He that believeth, he was drawing from somewhere in there. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out from your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. He said the scripture said that. As the scripture saith. But there's no scripture that say it. Out from your belly will flow rivers, but there are scriptures that say it. There are scriptures that portray it. What he's talking about was things like Ezekiel 47. When the gate of the temple opened and living waters came out from the foundation stone. It came and broke out and they rolled out into the earth. They rolled out into the earth. And the Bible says they flowed to the Dead Sea. See, the Dead Sea is dead. Amen. And everything, whithersoever the waters went, everything that was dead liveth again. That's the imagery he was talking about. You have a kingdom of living water inside of you. When it truly gets loosed, if you can meet my definition, out of your innermost being will flow rivers, and everything that's dead will start living. The life of Eden will restore again to the earth. The life will restore into your body. The life will restore into your mind. Restoring emotion, restoring children, restoring from dysfunction. To get into a fully operational, functional family under the kingdom and harmony of the Most High God. Amen. We have to have the waters of the last days. The last day waters are full of life, full of glory. The life, the properties of the life will manifest and destroy death at will. As soon as they come out. The same waters that turned your dead spirit to life, those waters are flowing, will flow into the earth in the last days and fill the entire earth with living water. Say the living waters. This is why we need the kingdom manifested, the true one. Amen? With a life in the rivers coming out. That's why he said, he that believeth on me. There must be something about his definitions a little different than ours. Because if ours was meeting it, every one of us would be fully blown rivers. How's like a river coming out of you? How about this one? Go to John chapter 14. This one's the big one. This is what he's working now. See, you follow him in his word. He didn't start you with this. He finishes you with this. Why do you think he gave the gifts and the callings and the ministrations of God to the Corinthian church? The Bible says he gave the gifts, callings of God severally as the Holy Spirit willed. All the gifts, all the administrations, all the government was given to the Corinthian church. By the way, the Corinthian church was the most carnal church of all. And that's where the gifts and the administration of the governments were born. That's what Paul spoke about in 1 Corinthians 12. There was divisions in chapter 1, divisions in chapter 3. There was incestual fornication in chapter 5. There was idolatry in chapter 6. There was, again, in chapter 11, division at the communion table. And then chapter 12, the gifts, callings, and ministrations of God. Severally, as the Holy Spirit will. If God didn't use carnal people, nothing would get done. But what he really wants is the full age. He wants those who understand how to get the life here. It's a different operation. It is the anointing without measure. It's what the Lord operated in. It is what he was introducing us to. And it's what we must obtain in the last days. We have to obtain the operation he gave us when he said, my glory I give to you. And the secret of that operation was perfected oneness. What is perfected oneness? Your ability to enter into where he is and your faith to bring him to where you are. To bring all of God down into the earth. To bring the Most High, the glory of God. Behold, the tabernacle of God is what? With man. The tabernacle of God with man. He said, you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll walk in you, I dwell in you, I'll be a father to you, I'll be with you. Just as he was with Moses, I'll prepare him a habitation. We have to prepare the habitation. It's not this simple, I wish it was, oh come and dwell with me. The definition is a little more advanced than that. There are words that were spoken over us. There were words of the union that was given to us. There were words of a perfected union that I and my Father will come make our abode with you in the earth. You will become the temple of the living God. As I was with Moses in his tabernacle, as I was Solomon in his temple, I'll be with you, the living God, manifesting glory and virtue and life and power out of you. Kingdom of God, lighting you up. This is what he wants.
I don't know how to do it.
Who knows? Who does? That's what I'm saying. We got to go to him. Say, I need your definition. The first thing we got to do is say, I don't really have your definition. I have enough to know I believe on you that I have everlasting life. I can drink of you, but I want the rivers now. John chapter 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said to him, have I not been with you so long a time? Who do you think was talking right there? And you have not known me, Philip? The Father just spoke right through the Lord. Philip, and he said unto me, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Verse 10, believest thou not that I am in my Father, and my Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He is the one that doeth these works that you see. He is here with me working. He said, now believe me. Now this is the key. Watch this. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. For verily, and this definition will be obtained. Everyone say, I'll obtain it by grace. By faith. He said, he, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the work that I do, you will do also. There is a realm he's promising us. He's not talking about the little shimmy shoo shoo works. He's talking about the blind eyes seeing, the deaf ears being unstopped, wheelchairs, maimed, lame, blind, the whole thing. The ones that are so elusive to the body of Christ. Those works. The ones where we pray and pray and pray and nothing happens. Those works. The works that I do is if I was standing there with you. The Stevies. With a chromosome disorder being suddenly. Whew, what kind of testimony would that be? Wouldn't take long. Guess who's going to be here next week? Every one of his friends. The revival of the act. Now, the church in Acts started with miracles, signs, and wonders. Pow, exploded. In fact, it was on Peter that they brought him from all the surrounding cities, just like they did the Lord. They released the shadow, the glory that was on him. It was the manifested glory in the temple upon Peter was manifesting. And all it did is that glory had to touch him, and they were all healed. Dunamis was filling the streets of Jerusalem. Herod tried to kill him. Prayer was made and angels walked up into the prison and walked him right past guards. Broke the chains open. Angels broke chains, literal chains, and walked him right outside. And didn't tell him, go hide, Peter. No, he said, go stand in the street and preach the words of this life. Go stand right out there in front of him and preach again. That's something a little different than we have right now. He said, he that believeth on me. Well, I think he'll do it. No, there is a realm he already has given. He says, my glory, my standing, my operation with the Father, I give to you. He didn't say it like that. He says, I have given to you. We have to meet the equation of he that believeth on me. This is Sunday morning Christianity right here. He said, he believe on me. What's he say? The works that I do, you will do also. And greater than these, because I will go to the Father and see to it. See, the definition, he put it out there. We have to obtain it. We obtain it by faith. We obtain perfection by faith. We do not obtain perfection by works. Listen, there needs to be more power to perfect us. We're always talking about we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to change, we need to repent. Listen, we need power to overcome. We need dunamis power from heaven to overcome. We need a move of God to overcome. We need glory to overcome. It's just not our discipline to say, I repent, I'm sorry, Lord, I go right back. I need something greater than I have right now. I need greater, more, say more. He's not looking for you. All of a sudden, he's repenting. He's just self-disciplined all day long because we don't know how to access. If we have the right kind of power, we can access the life. The life will destroy what the enemy's trying to work in us. this life will manifest. This is what we're after. The life. The Lord spoke to me plain as day. He said, watch for the voices that will start rising in the last day. You'll hear them because they'll have one thing on their lips. They'll begin to speak of the life. The life is the final move of God. It's not your definition of the life, the Lord said. It's my definition. My life will destroy death wherever it finds it. If the true life of God is present, death cannot be there. If the true life of God is present, the kingdom of God will be manifesting, multiplying, increasing, and abounding. And there'll be joy, peace, righteousness all around. It'll be like honey, honey, sweet fragrance of the living God welling up within. The life of Christ multiplying, eradicating. Eradicating all sin, a new day of restoration coming out from the believer. Out from the believer is where the move of God. Don't look for it to fall out of the sky. It's coming out of God's people in the last days. It's coming right out. It's going to change as well. It rolls out. It's going to transform as it rolls out. Life manifesting. He that believe on me, the works that I do, you will do also in my name. You won't do them. I can do nothing. Even the Lord couldn't do it. Jesus said, I can do nothing in myself. It's my Father that does it. Of course we can't do it. I mean, who's going to raise somebody from the dead? You can't. That's not what this is about. It's about how to get what's in him here to do it. And that's what we're after. And he says, you'll keep these words of mine and you stay with them. Don't let them go. Hold them. Meditate upon them. Work the word. Work the faith. I was caught up last Tuesday in this realm with God and I saw these blueprints. I don't know how to explain all this. There was like blueprints swirling all around me. They're all around. They went up into the heavens. It was like, it looked like blueprints swirling all around. I said, what is this? He said, this is everything I have said about me being with you, Emmanuel, God with us, about building a habitation. I've already spoken this. I've already given this to you. I already assured that it was done before I ever began. But now I require belief. See it, say it, believe it, agree with it. Of course you're not there. Of course you don't feel like it. If you were there, it'd be manifesting. You can't believe God for something you don't have and act like you're there. If you were perfect, you wouldn't need his perfection. If it was flowing, you wouldn't need to believe him. Believing is in the very context is believing for something that's not presently with you. I don't have to be perfect to get this. That is something it'll sidetrack people. They'll go after God and all of a sudden they try to be free. You're not perfect enough for God to ever do this for you. Of course I'm not perfect enough. Who is? Who meets that qualification? He didn't ask you to be perfect. He asked you to believe on him. If his life is powerful enough to raise somebody from the dead, can it not change something inside of you along the way? Can it not shift you in emotions? Can it not change some dysfunction inside of you? How do you obtain if you've got to feel like it, if you're perfect enough? God didn't ask you. He asked, can you believe? Can you believe upon me? Believe that I'm in my Father and my Father's in me. Because if you can believe and you stay with me, I'll engraft you into the same oneness. I'll bring you into where we are. We will love you and we'll come down where you are and manifest ourselves through you. And along the way, you'll be changed. You'll be transformed. You'll be made in our image along the way. Jesus holds our image, not our works of trying to obtain perfection. It's the original lie. What he told Adam. If you eat from this, you'll be as God. You'll be like him. And they ate. And ever since then, man's still trying to obtain. Struggling with a perfection. I'm not perfect. Of course you're not perfect. But he is. I have a perfected one living inside of me. And I can believe on him and obtain his image. Why? Because I'm already complete in him. The Bible says you're complete in me. He finished me. You know what we're working right now? I'll close with this. The one I'm working now is Romans 8. Justified. To him he called. Oh, let's go back then. To him he foreknew. He foreknew you before you were born again. To them he predestinated. Boy, they got a whole religion about predestination. If you're one of the predestinated ones, you can be born again. If you weren't, so sorry. He predestinated everybody. To him he predestined. He called. Everyone's called if they respond. To them who called, they were justified. Everyone in here, if you're born again, that happened to you. How many of you are justified? I'm justified by the blood, not my works. To him he justified, he glorified. In the plan of God, he already did it. How can he glorify me when I hadn't been glorified yet? Do you know that I am glorified? I am a glorified son of the living God. I'm not talking about your definition, his definition. The glorified body. He finished my redemption before he started. You know when he did it? He did it on the Mount of Transfiguration. He, being the singular heir, walked into his own glorification. We were all in him that day. On the Mount of Transfiguration, his body lit up like the light of the sun. He wore the glorification. He entered into the glorification. So he already finished us. It's already done. That's why the glory will be revealed from within. It's already inside you. The life will manifest. We can walk into it. If he said it, you can walk into it. That's what we're after. The Lord said, just get beyond where you are. The greatest thing that stops people is where they are. The enemy will hound you, bind you. He'll make sure somebody tells you what they think about you. He'll make sure words will come out of some mouth to keep you locked into where you're at. Because he wants to control. And the Lord said, no, come out with me. Walk out at what I have spoken over you. My words are spirit, they are life to those who find them. Even the ones you haven't entered into yet, that's the ones that will manifest for you. Amen? He that believeth on me, hey, take the next step. He's got a big old ladder there. It's like a stairwell. Believe on me. Take the next step. Take the next step. Take the next step. Go on in. Go further. Go further. Go further. Go further. Rivers will come out of you. The works that I do, you'll do also. Go further. Don't stop. Rivers coming out. Living water flowing. I'm starting to taste of it. I've been at this a long time. That life's starting to well up now. This morning, I promise you, I'll close with this. It was like honey. It was so rich, so deep, so thick. It saturated my mind, my emotional faculties, every part of me. I'm like, Lord, if we could get more of this, we would be a lot nicer. If we could get more of this, we would be a lot kinder. We'd be a whole lot more patient. We could be a lot more happier. We could be full of joy. We wouldn't be growling at everybody and biting everybody. You're not going to bite people if you got honey rolling through you. The Lord said, this is a result of what you're believing. Continue the path because this will become a river. And this he said to me, this is good news. So he said to me, this has the life of its own. And he goes, right now you're partaking. Soon you'll be giving it out. He says, when you give it out, it multiplies back to you. It's different than what the gift realm. When the gift realm, you'll give it out, it'll wear you out. That's why ministers try to live on the gift. After a while, they can't. Because the only place they can find the anointing is in the gift realm. But after a while, it'll take its toll on you. He says, this one's different. This is coming out of me. The more that flows out, the more you give away, it'll start multiplying back to you. Multiplying back. I said, give me some honey. The honey. Oh my goodness. It just melts the world away. It melts all your problems away. It melts depression, heaviness. It'll melt and you make you happy. You'll walk around instead of your church face. You'll have your real face on. We won't even have to come to church with a church face anymore. We'll come in happy. The glory of God manifesting around us. Stevie's been clothed in the right mind. Luke's coming out of the wheelchairs. There's hope for me. I want him to clear out all generational dysfunction. I mean, every bit of, I want my emotions like responding like I'm an heir of God. Happiness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Temperance, calmness, peace, and patience. Thank you, Father, for the glory. Thank you for the table, spreading a table before us. That's God with you. Say, spread a table. That's God with you. Emmanuel, God with us. I'll come and make our abode with you. As you're with me where we are, we're with you where you are. You're the temple of the living God. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. We prepare him a habitation. The blueprints are all around. All we need to do is speak, see, say, agree. It doesn't matter where you are. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to keep reminding you who you are. Don't worry about where you are right now. Just see who you are in him. See the glory. See the light. See it. Because what you see, you become. I know who we are right now. If 50 years of struggling with this hadn't changed us, maybe we need to change our pursuit. Just bypass who you are right now. The Lord spoke to me the other day. He says, you don't intimidate me. He said it to me. He said, your issues don't intimidate me. He says, I got some stuff in heaven that can deal with you. I said, "Ooh, hallelujah." Because the life, the joy, the peace, we're going to become his image. We're not going to do it by works. We're going to do it by faith and believe what he already said about us. Because he already finished us. I am complete in him. Now, you're going to walk out that door and the enemy's going to do something. Don't worry about it. Stay in the realm he's leading you. Don't be so hard on yourself. Some of the stuff we've been subjected to, it's amazing we're even in church. Amen. I mean, some people deal with anger issues. Like, why is such an angry person? Probably because they were brought up with someone a whole lot angry, and they are. They downloaded all that into them. God has a program called life that will change us. Say, the life was manifested. We beheld the life. In him was life. I came that you might have life. And have it abundantly, a living life flowing from the throne, you see. A life that swallows up death, every curse, sickness, infirmity. A life that manifests in my mind, my soul, my emotions, and my body. I look to you, the hill from which cometh my help. It matters not who I am now. I see who I am in you. I embrace the transformation. I embrace the life that makes me, Lord, just like you. Life, love, and liberty. This is my pursuit to be perfected in thee. Not of my own works, but of faith in you. You hold my image, Lord. You'll never let me go. Amen, amen. Let's give him glory.